Father, we thank you for this afternoon on International Day. Thank you for seeing us through one service and for bringing us halfway through the second service. We're grateful, Lord, for this blessing. And we pray, O God, that you will bless us here also as you did in the morning in the name of Jesus. Anoint the teaching and preaching and hearing and understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. Please be seated. And I am going to share with you for a very short time today because I understand we have to leave. But I want to share with you my favorite International Day message. And it comes from Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And, you know, the verse Pastor Monene was sharing, and I think Ine was reading that verse too. Yes, and Paul was also reading the Imam verse. Right. Now, I just want to share a little bit around that verse. Amen. So, that verse is Acts chapter 10, and from verse 34 and 35. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Amen. Amen. Now, Peter is saying that I have learned a new lesson. What is the lesson? He said that I do realize now that God is no respecter of persons. That means until then, he thought that God was a respecter of persons, that God had special people, God had favorites, or God favored some people over others. Do you see what I'm saying? Then he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That means Peter thought that as long as you were not from his country, you were probably not accepted by God. Do you see? Now, let's go to the background of this realization. And you go with me to the beginning of Acts chapter 10. And let's read from verse 9. So in Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says, the title of my message is Prejudice Will Limit Your Blessings. Amen. Prejudice will limit your blessings. I have to take this off so I can see you. Amen. Right. Now, okay. So I'm going to try to be brief, but I want to read as much of this chapter with you as possible. Amen. So verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Anytime you see something that you're afraid of, just say, what is it, Lord? You're not sure. Amen. And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Tell someone, God knows where you live. See, God knows your neighborhood, isn't it? Right. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Isn't it? He said, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner. That means God also knows what you do for a living. That is why you shouldn't be afraid to talk with him about a new job. Isn't it? Then God also knows who you are living with. That's not always good news. Because some people are living with the wrong people. Do you see what I'm saying? So God knows who you are living with. And God knows whether you are a tenant, a renter, or an owner. Isn't it? Right. So he said, he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Can you see that? And he became very hungry. Say he was very hungry. Say very hungry. So, and would have eaten. Do you see? He was very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Say amen. Amen. Right. So here is Peter. This is Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, by Acts chapter 10, the gospel has started to be preached a little outside their normal Jerusalem circles. You see. So in Acts chapter 8, Philip is preaching to an Ethiopian eunuch. And then in Acts chapter 9, Apostle Paul is being included, you see. And then in Acts chapter 10, God is getting ready to expand the scope of Peter's ministry and to allow Peter access to new people, more people. You know, he's about to expand his world and to give him new experiences and to help him to become a better minister. And God is trying to figure out how to birth Peter into this. Because Peter, as a good Jew, is loaded with prejudices. He's loaded with all kinds of thoughts about other people. "I don't eat this, I don't eat that. I don't touch this, I don't touch that. This is common, this is unclean." You know, so the Lord is looking for a good time and hoping that if he can catch Peter at a good time, he will take the opportunity to teach him the lesson and teach him the principle that if you want to go to the next step, you need to open up your life and your world to more people than are already included in it. So the Holy Spirit picks a time. Peter becomes very hungry. Says, "Now is the right time." So to a very hungry man, he lowers a sheet, you know, in a vision with all kinds of foods and all kinds of animals, creeping things, crawling things, different kinds of things on the sheet. And then he gives him an instruction, arise, Peter, kill and eat. After all, you're hungry. After all, you are in need. After all, you are looking for church growth. After all, you are looking for a new job. After all, you are looking for a beloved. After all, you are looking for a friend. And so this hunger and desire you have, here is a sheet full of things, options, choices, so you can take of it to fulfill your needs. But then Peter is held back by his prejudices. Peter says, no, Lord, not so, Lord. I know I'm hungry, but the truth is, I don't do unclean things. I don't eat unclean things. I don't eat common things. I don't relate with people from here. I don't relate with people from there. When people from here are into my life, it brings a lot of confusion. I don't like these people. These people are like that. Those people are like this. And so I don't do unclean. I don't do common. You know. And so the voice spake unto him again and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Do you understand? You must not call common, because otherwise your life will be empty. You're going to go without. You will remain hungry. And it will not be because provision has not been made for you, but your thinking about those things and about those people has held you back. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? It says, this was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God took his thing back to heaven. Since you don't want it, I take my thing back. And guess what? We are left with Apostle Peter, who is still very hungry. And now he's thinking, what does this vision mean? What is the meaning of this? While Peter is having this vision, the Lord has already sent people to him. And God is about to introduce Peter to the next level of his ministry. God is about to introduce Peter to the next level and the next group of people that he is going to experience in his ministry. The next group of people that are going to join his church. The next group of people that he is going to get to preach to. And the Lord is preparing him for the arrival of those people. That, you know, you need to learn how to accept and how to embrace people who don't belong to the group you are normally used to. Hallelujah. Amen. So while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. He said, there are 3 people outside there who are coming to see you. And I want you to arise and go and meet them, but leave your prejudices behind. Hallelujah. Leave your thoughts behind. Leave your misconceptions behind, because you will not be able to reach out. You will not be able to go to the next level if you don't get rid of those things in your mind. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what is limiting all of us. And for many of us, our world is so small and our world is not enriched because we are so narrow in our thoughts and in our embracing of people. The scope of people we relate with is very narrow. The spectrum is not wide at all. Do you understand? As soon as we meet someone who comes from a different country, someone who dresses a little different, someone who speaks or sounds a little different, our hearts, our minds, our spirits are totally closed to all such people. And yet some of them may be sent into your life by God. God told Peter, I have sent them. He said, arise, go and meet them, because these are not strangers. These guys are not just showing up in your life because they are just loitering around in the neighborhood. These are people that I have actually sent. And when you read the scripture, you see that Cornelius was praying. He was praying and God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I want to put you in touch with this preacher called Peter. I'm going to connect you with a preacher called Peter. And then, you know, that preacher, I'm going to use him to bless you. Do you understand? So on one hand, God is waiting to use Peter to bless Cornelius. And on the other hand, God is waiting to use Cornelius to expand Peter's ministry and to give Peter a new experience of ministry altogether. Do you understand? And what stands between Peter and Cornelius is Peter's prejudice and Peter's thoughts about who a foreigner is, who a stranger is, who is common and who is unclean. And God says, unless you get rid of this kind of thinking, you are going to be limited by those thoughts and your ministry will be small. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, God allows sometimes certain needs to pop up in our lives, which are only solved by opening up your life to someone or something you're not used to. Do you understand? God brings us to a place often where the only option we have, if we want a solution, is to embrace or open up our lives and open our hearts to someone new, someplace new, something like that. Hallelujah. Amen. But often we are closed up. We're only used to our group. We're only used to the sort of people we have always been with. And that keeps our world small. It deprives our world of wealth and blessing. Our lives are not enriched because a lot of people that God meant to be included in our lives are actually excluded by our prejudices. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so the Lord showed Peter the vision at a time when he was hungry. And he was hoping that since he's hungry, he may break the rules. But there are some of us who hold on to the rules so tight that no matter how hungry we are, we are staying put. Nothing will make us change our minds, and nothing will make us change anything about what we believe, about a place, about a people, and so on and so forth. There are many of us who will find greater prosperity, perhaps even in another country. Yeah, in another country. But we are used to America. Do you understand? We believe that the gold is in America. And so even though the Holy Spirit may be ministering to you and pointing you to another place, our world and our minds are close to it. And we just don't have room in our lives at all for what God wants us to have, the next experience. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you read on, it says, Peter went down to the men. This is verse 21. And went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him, just for security, because he was now entering and venturing into foreign territory, and he wanted some company. And so the morrow, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Hallelujah. This is the first time Peter is arriving in a place where people are actually waiting to hear what he has to say. You know, up until this point, Peter and his friends, you know, they were even being lashed for preaching. They would preach outside in the public places and they would whip them for preaching and be warned not to preach again. And then Peter would say, well, we cannot obey you instead of God, so we are going to continue to preach. But preaching was not easy for them. They did preach, they did do the work of God, but it was not an easy thing for them. Do you understand? Now God is birthing Peter into a new place of ministry where people are actually waiting to hear what you have to say. You know, he said that when they got to the place, the man had gathered his kinsmen and near friends, that's close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now, this is an experience Peter has never seen before. That there is a place where, you know, as a pastor, as a man of God, the people are actually worshipping him. Can you imagine that? And so Peter has to stop them. Peter took him up and said, stand up. I myself am also a man. I'm not used to this. I'm used to being whipped. I'm used to explaining myself a lot. I'm used to speaking to people who don't want to hear me. I'm used to people who are questioning my preaching, questioning my integrity, questioning my origins, questioning who I am, questioning where I went to Bible school, questioning what I studied. I'm not used to this treatment. I'm not used to people adoring me even before they've heard me speak. Hallelujah. See, there are times when God is prepared a place for you. God is laying a red carpet for you somewhere. But your insistence on sticking with what you're used to is keeping you out of the blessing that God has prepared for your life. Are you understanding me? So in verse 27, as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how it is, that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Can you see that? This is his opening statement in his preaching. He said, you already know that, you know, me and you don't row. You know, that my type doesn't go with your type. You already know that my type does not relate with your type. You already know that my type cannot stand your type. He says, it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But then he said, God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Hallelujah. On this international day, God is showing you that you should not call any man common or call any man unclean. The truth is that there are many lessons that belong to your life which will not be learned from among your people, which will not be learned from staying among the people you are used to. There are many lessons you are going to have to reach outside your circles to be able to include that wisdom and that benefit in your life. Hallelujah. And so verse 29, he says to them, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. Hallelujah. He said, I came to you, I overcame my prejudices, I overcame my thoughts, I overcame everything, and I came to you without talking much. Hallelujah. As soon as I was sent for, I decided to come. Hallelujah. Of course, Peter didn't tell them how God was showing them, and he was saying, Lord, I don't do unclean people, all these things. He didn't tell them any of that. He just said, as soon as the Lord sent for me, I came to you. Hallelujah. He said, I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. You know, can you just help her a little bit, you know? Yeah, cool. All right. He says, thine alms, you know, your prayers and your alms have come to God. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, I lost my thing a little bit. Where is it? Verse 31. Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we all here present. Amen. Now therefore are we all here present, before God to hear all the things that that are commanded of thee of God. Hallelujah. In other words, preach to us whatever God is saying to you. Hallelujah. And that's the best day for a preacher. Amen. Not to be worried about what you're going to preach. Just to preach what is in your heart. Because many times, preachers cannot say what is in their heart. Do you understand? Sometimes the people intimidate the preachers. Do you understand? And so the preachers cannot say what is in their heart. And so here is Peter. The people say, look, preach to us. Whatever you say to us, we take it that God told you to tell us. We are going to obey. I mean, this is a new place in ministry for Peter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is a new place. He says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Hallelujah. So it is in this chapter that Peter begins to preach. He said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and so on and so on. Verse 38, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, you know, and Peter continued to preach to them until in verse 44, the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Wow. This is while the preaching was going on. I mean, the manifestations were so great. Hallelujah. And all of this is happening outside his circles, outside his normal circles, outside his normal world. Hallelujah. Listen, there are great experiences waiting for you outside your normal world. There are great experiences waiting for you outside your normal circles of friendship. There are great experiences waiting for you outside your normal scope and sphere of living. Hallelujah. Many of us are hemmed in and contained, you know, by our fears and by our thoughts. And so many things in our minds block us and prevent us from experiencing the best that God has for us. Hallelujah. There are many people who are not married because their lives are not open, because their minds are not open, you know, to other possibilities from other places. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That I don't like this person from this tribe, or this person from this clan, or this person from this country, or that person from another country. So many different things that hold us back. Even there are some people who are poor, especially immigrants, who are poor because the food they eat is too expensive. Do you understand? I know a lot of people who come from my country. Do you understand? Who spend a lot of money on food. Do you understand? Because they have to eat what comes from their country. They have not opened their hearts and opened their minds and trained their taste buds or introduced their tongue to different and new things. I mean, when a piece of yam goes to an embassy to get a visa and comes to America to meet you, that piece of yam is not going to be cheap. It will not be cheap. Because what human beings have not been able to achieve, that piece of yam has achieved. People cannot get visas, cannot afford air tickets, and a piece of yam has succeeded, has successfully gotten itself through immigration and has arrived in town in Los Angeles. It's not going to be cheap. Yeah. But you have not learned how to eat potatoes, which is a close cousin of the yam. You see, because you say it's common. You want snails. Snails, dried snails on a stick. You want dry fish. Dry mud fish. Hey. You have not learned to eat KFC. You say that chicken is too soft. You want the chicken that cannot be eaten. exercise, hit the gym. Don't get your exercise from eating your chicken. That you take the chicken, you have to bite and you pull, that your head is going this way and your hand is going that way. You know, and then eventually the winner takes it all. It's either the chicken is coming out with your teeth, or your teeth are bringing the chicken into your mouth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You need to open yourself up to new things. You need to train yourself to do new things. You need to train yourself. You need to have some friends. You need to have some friends among the people that you work with. How can it be that all your friends live across town? So anytime you have to visit a friend, you have to drive across the city. From here to the LAX area is about 60 miles. And that's just to visit a friend. Because all your friends live down there somewhere. But what about your street? What about your neighborhood? What about the people who work with you? People who live near you? What is wrong with them? Except that you say they are common, they are unclean, and you are suffering from Peter's disease. Hallelujah. But God knew it. God knew that if I'm to take Peter to the next level, he needs to overcome this hurdle. Peter needs to change his thinking. He needs to be more open to diversity. He needs to be more open to different nationalities. And sometimes being able to relate with different nationalities calls for cutting back on yourself and training yourself, you know, learning new things. And being prepared to be used to new cultures, new ways of doing things, new behaviors. Do you understand? That means you will not always be comfortable, but learning is never comfortable. Have you seen someone learning how to drive? Yeah. They don't even want to answer a question. Yeah. Because it's not comfortable when you are learning something new. When people have learned how to drive, they relax, they palm the steering wheel, and they'll be texting with the other hand. Do you understand? That's someone who has learned how to do it. Yeah. They even have bad habits, and they are flowing. But when you see someone who is learning how to drive, especially when they're learning how to drive stick shift, you know, they move the car, and then they have to pause, and they have to look for the gear, and they don't know, how do I look for the gear and watch the road and also find the accelerator and the clutch at the same time? They think it's impossible. Learning is always uncomfortable. But after you get used to it, it becomes a blessing to your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So let me close my message by saying to you, open yourself up. Hallelujah. On International Day, the lesson is to embrace more people into your world. Be more open. Don't expect everyone to speak your language. Don't expect everyone to eat your food. Hallelujah. And sometimes to keep people around you, to keep people in your life, you have to forgo some comforts. If you keep speaking your language when people come around, it's a message to them that you don't want them. So since they can't fit into your world, they'll keep going away. But sometimes you need to cut back. You need to restrain yourself and be open. In our church, we encourage people to speak English and English only. English and English only. And it is not because you are trying to be American. But it is because you are trying to open your world up. Because God, can you imagine if Peter arrives in this man's house and then he starts speaking his native language and says, as for me, this is what I know. No. You will send Cornelius out of your house. And Cornelius was a big fish. He was a big man. This was an army general. He was a big man, a very well-connected person. And Peter required... he was required to discipline himself in a certain way for God to add this blessing to his life. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we tell people, don't speak your local language in the church. Because this place is not only for you or your type. but it is for other people that God wants to reach through the work of this ministry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is for other people. Anybody that God touches to be here ought to be able to be here, ought to be able to belong here without feeling that they are among aliens. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That they are among strangers, or that they themselves are strange. That I love your service, but I don't feel like I belong. No, that is not the way it should be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must overcome our prejudices. We must overcome our misconceptions about people. Hallelujah. And give everybody a chance. Give everybody a chance. Peter gave Cornelius a chance, and he was surprised at what he found. This is the first time that Peter is preaching, and while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on the people. Holy Ghost cannot even wait for him to finish preaching and then start to sing a song. Send your mighty power, come down now, oh Lord, come down now. This is after the preaching. No, the Holy Spirit said, we don't have to wait for that. While you're preaching, I'm falling on the people. I'm confirming that you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing. These people are open to the word, and I can manifest myself here also. And they have such a powerful service that people begin to speak in tongues just like it was with the Jews. God is looking to allow you to have great experiences if you're going to open your heart. If you're going to allow him to enlarge your heart and allow him to come into your life in a very strong way. Hallelujah. You're going to experience these great things from the Lord. Amen. So Peter said that of the truth, let me read it again. Of the truth, he said that I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, that means no matter the person's nationality, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Hallelujah. God loves more nations than your nation. God gave his son for the world. The Bible says God so loved the world. God didn't just love Africa or just love America or just love Europe. God didn't just love one small country. God loved the world. And in every place where people fear God and work righteousness, there are people who are accepted by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if God accepts them, you can accept them. Amen. If God can accept them, you can accept them too. Amen. If God likes them, you must like them too. Amen. If God can relate with them, you ought to be able to relate with them also. Hallelujah. Amen. So stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. I want you to take a moment and think about the message I just shared with you. Think about the many different ways in which your life is limited. Perhaps there are some blessings that God meant to come into your life, except that your life is closed up to people and things and places that you have called unclean. You say they are unclean, and because of that, you are not experiencing what they have to offer and contribute to your life. But today, God is reaching out to you. Peter was able to pass the test. Peter told the people, God has shown me, God has taught me, I have learned this lesson from the Lord, that I must not call anybody common. Can you say with Peter that God has shown you? Can you also say that God has shown me that I need to open up my life? I need to open up my mind. I need to open up my heart. Can you also say with Peter that God has taught me that there are more people than the ones I know, that others can be saved, that others can be invited to church, that others can be encouraged to serve God. Can you say like Peter, that there are others, other people somewhere else, who probably may even appreciate what you have to offer much more, much more, much more. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because you may have closed certain doors that the Lord opened to you. Perhaps God was trying to introduce you to new experiences, a new line of work, even a new line of work, a new line of work, something that would have evolved into something great for you. But you're saying that because it's not this or that, it's not what you're used to, you wouldn't even call it a job. You wouldn't even call it a line of work. You wouldn't even respect it or recognize it. Because of that, a certain blessing is kept out of your life. I want you to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I am open. Here I am. Whatever you want to teach me, wherever you want to lead me, whoever you want to bring into my life, whatever you want to introduce into my life, I am open. I am open. I am open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then as we close today, I want to pray for you or pray with you if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a child of God. If you're here and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, I want to serve God. I am not sure that if I were to die today, I will go to heaven. You can be sure by giving your life to Jesus today. The Bible says, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Then it says, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. These are serious words. If you want to go to the Father, you need Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity to take Jesus and to include Him in your life in order to see the Father. So while every eye is closed, if this is your prayer, if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need Jesus, just raise up your right hand quietly and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Is there anyone here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. Why don't we all say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my salvation. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for leaving heaven and coming to the earth among strange people and to die for my sins. Today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together.